wind me up. And when I came into the room, so I wasn't thinking too kindly about a certain person. And I certainly wasn't grateful. And now both those feelings and seeing so many people that I know through the years and being here, I'm going to cry, I'm sure, many times because I'm just thankful and grateful. Yeah. So when I was kind of reminiscing, because there's so much in 39 years and a lot of good stories, crazy stories, stories of shame, stories of progress, I look now, because it's always good when you're doing your personal inventory, and I realize that some of my best growth has probably happened since I moved out to the desert, which is now, I moved in 2018, so you figure out the math. And I realized that when it comes to my program, there's basically a routine that I had to make work for me so that my recovery would be something that wasn't something that I thought of, it's something that I became. And in order to do that, having been a teacher for many years, you need to practice. It's like anything in sports and doing any activity that requires some sort of proficiency, you need practice. And I just think it's interesting that step 12 is we carry this message to others and we practice it. Principles in all our affairs. And so, anyway, here are my five practices, and you'll learn where I was, how I got here, and where I am today. It's kind of a doozy for me, and I hope you'll enjoy the ride. So, the first practice that I truly feel all of us somehow master, so to speak, master, when I say practice, is step one. Because step one gets us in here. We eventually, oh my God, I'm a mess, right? Well, this is how my step one evolved. So I was born on Christmas Day in a Catholic family at 3 a.m. and the 1st of 6. Now, some of you may think, that's really cool, you were born on Christmas. And, you know, I've heard Catholic can be kind of cool, but can kind of be weird. And, oh, you were in charge of 6. Well, guess what? That situation, Christmas Day, Catholic, all I could hear growing up is, you were born on Christmas, act Christ-like, be good, set an example. At 5 years old, I went, and I only knew Spanish. I come from, my mom and dad were both Spanish in their background, Latin, Portuguese, Italian, all that mixed in, but their main language was Spanish. And so I'm 5 years old, getting ready to go to kindergarten, and I wake up like 2 days before, and I have this huge boil on the back. And so my mom takes me to the doctor. Now, I don't know any English, right? And all I remember is being in one room, my mom and the doctor are talking, and I hear this word. I don't know why this is the one word I picked on, stress. So I asked my mom, Mama, ¿qué quiere decir stress? And she just went, child of God, you'll handle it. Okay, this was me. I was a perfect freaking kid any mom could want, any dad could want. I never made any mistakes, but it was stressful. So off I go to college, go through high school. Everything was mommy pleasing, brothers and sister pleasing. My brothers and sisters loved me because I was always taking care of them. I was doing their sack lunches, you know, you name it. I was like the best sister to have, and I honestly loved it because it was attention, and this is how I got my love, you know, was like, well, you really liked what I made? How cool, you know, and the same thing at school. Okay, so now I go off to college, and I'm so relieved, although I'm getting ready to go, and here comes the Catholic guilt, and the Catholic guilt was this. My mom sits me down. I'm supposed to be going to the University of Redlands. I'm super excited. I want to be a Spanish teacher, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, hija, sit down. And she goes, you know, you're the firstborn. Your dad went to USC. Are you sure you don't want to go there? You got accepted there. Guess who ended up at USC? And guess who met her wonderful alcoholic there? Yay! It was in the stars. I was meant to go to USC. I fell in love with this guy who was a Juilliard School of Music graduate. And it's so funny because it wasn't about the looks, you know, even though I was about a girl that wanted good looking. But when he played the piano, oh my God. Take me away. So we got married, and I just thought, this is perfect. He can play the piano. He's Catholic. He's Italian. He can cook. I didn't know anything about anything because being raised Catholic, I didn't know about getting pregnant. I didn't know about birth control because we don't talk about those things. So boom, I get pregnant right away, and life's starting to change. Okay? All of a sudden, I started noticing, how come you're at church so long? You know, I know you're the music minister. Well, I'm hanging out with Father so-and-so. And don't you bitch about it, because your dad's there, too. I'm with a man of the cloth and your dad. So this became a pattern. And it got to the point, and this is where step one comes in, my first practice, where my life was so unmanageable. I was managing my life that I was unmanageable. I was so crazy. And for me to actually get to this point, my body, which some of you, I don't know if I can identify, I went into denial. I was teaching high school at the time. This is like 7 or 8 years into our marriage now. He's drinking away, partying with priests. Back in the day, a lot of the priests had days off. They'd go to Vegas together. Yeah. I could tell you stories. And I know that in our program, we do not talk religious tenets. But this is part of my story and what got me here. So accept it in that form. So, okay. So now I'm teaching high school. We didn't have, back in the day, this tells you how old I am, we didn't have dry eraser boards, we didn't have transparency, we had ditto machines and a chalkboard. I was so in denial. My hair, which was probably, I'm trying to see somebody that has beautiful long black hair. I think that wonderful girl in the back that helped me when we got here is me. Your hair. Hair like yours, curly, Latin, damp, falling out. Oh. Must be the shampoo. Then I go to my classroom, start writing, and my hands would shake because they were so raw from eczema, stress eczema. But you know what I told myself? Oh, I must be allergic to the chalk. Okay, so this is how practice one, powerless over alcohol, finally had to hit this crazy lady in the head. I'm living in San Dimas at the time, and there's this town called Covina. Some of you have heard about it, the capital of sobriety and all that good stuff. And I am driving back from teaching. My kids are in school. I only wanted to teach part-time so I could be home to do something. And I'm in this little V-dub. All of a sudden, from nowhere, I this knocking on my thing. And I'm in a VW in the middle of the intersection, you guys, and I don't even know it. It stopped. And this person is knocking, lady, are you okay? Lady, are you okay? And finally, I kind of shake my head, and I look over, and I couldn't even respond. Basically, I was having an anxiety attack. I somehow get to the side, don't know what happened to this man, must have been an angel from the good Lord. Now, this is where step one, and God will carry you when you can't even carry yourself. Something just told me to keep walking. I walk across the street. I'm wandering like a loony. What just happened? I go into this little strip mall, and there's this office, and it says National Council of Alcoholism. So I decide I'm going to walk in. And this lady's sitting here just like Angel. And she goes, I've been waiting for you. Well, at that moment, 2 hours, she sat with me. And she said, you need to get to this wonderful place called Al-Anon. And that was my first Al-Anon meeting a week later. And to show you how sick I was, I walked into that room. And all the women had hair like I do now. And I went walking in there and I go, oh my God, you have to be old to be an Al-Anon. Because I didn't know anything. All she did was listen to me about the drinking and all the craziness that was happening in our home. And, you know, I could tell you all those crazy moments, like him knocking over the Christmas tree, showing up at the stadium drunk, you know, but it's not about him. It's how I recovered. And so I get finally into Al-Anon like two to three weeks after that. And I'm going consistently. And so this practice of looking at my life, just step one, why am I so unmanageable when I'm doing such a good job organizing everything? Why? What is wrong with me? And I just love the fact that that particular step and that need to figure it out and someone willing to tell me, you know what? Just keep coming back. Just keep coming back. And I feel that one of the things that I notice that happens now is that I don't see as many of us, and I'm not saying this is critical to our program. I'm just saying, please be the one that does this. Please stay after a meeting and greet a newcomer. If someone hadn't done that for me, I don't think I would have stayed because I'm a stubborn little bitch. You know it all. I went to USC. I'm a college graduate. I taught high school. I mean, come on. I'm a smart girl. And so here comes the second practice that entered into my life. Thank you. Thank you to Al-Anon. Concept four. Participation is the key to harmony. If those women hadn't told me, I'm going to these meetings, and afterwards I go, yeah, sponsor, yeah. I go, what's that? You know, because I wasn't even paying attention to, at the meetings. Guys, this is how sick I was. I come in, and you guys were blabbing away. I couldn't talk because I hadn't worked the steps, right? And so I'd be going, oh, my God, she's wearing those kind of shoes? What's wrong with her? And then I'd kind of look over there, and I go, she's knitting? Why is she knitting? Are you allowed to do that? You know, I'm so judgmental, not even being open to what was being said. And so finally, I think it was like my second or third meeting, I go to this fire chat meeting in Covina, which I thought, that's a cool name. I'm going to try that meeting, you know, because I was just trying things to figure out. I had told myself, if I don't find another woman in Al-Anon that had a husband that drank with priests and knows my kind of business, then I'm out of here because they're full of crap. You know, because I thought I was the only one that had that in my life, right? So here I am at this fireside chat meeting, and this lady comes over to me. She goes, oh, guess what? We have a little participation thing. It's called, we're doing this rotation thing. And I'm going, what are you talking about? She goes, well, we have this thing called rotation of leadership, and we need somebody to do the literature table. And, you know, you'd be perfect for it. Okay, so I go, well, what's that? You know, and so then she shows me the table. You bring the box back and forth and all this stuff. And I thought, well, God, that girl didn't have a tablecloth on hers. And of course, you know? So the next time I come in, I've got cookies. I've got everything beautiful. Do you think anybody said thank you? They're going, oh my God, what's this pamphlet about? Oh, how much is this? And I'm like, would you like a cookie? You know? So, participation, this concept of leading to harmony and showing me the way that it's not about me. and needing the validation and being told, you know, you're wonderful, you're great, because I wasn't getting it at home. It's like, maybe if you do that kind and caring thing for someone else, you might get healthy too. And slowly, their love started to show me how to love. So what's happening at home at this time? My husband's still drinking. I'm not that much in Al-Anon, maybe a couple months. And I come home one day and I find out he's gone. Now, where is he? Right? And this was one of the episodes that I'm not too proud of, but everything has full circle, because if this hadn't happened almost 10 years later, I would have never been an Alateen sponsor. So I'll tell you how this all came about. So we had this tradition that he would put the angel on the Christmas tree. He's a music minister at our church. He had been drinking too much after the midnight mass. Comes in, the kids had been up waiting for dad, and he comes in, the whole damn tree fell. My son is 7, my daughter's 12. She became the mommy Maria, you know, come on, we're gonna go upstairs, everything will be okay. She's already taking care of her baby brother. And I'm just looking at him on the floor with this tree, and I go, I'm not gonna pick it up. And you know what I did? I went to the phone. We had phones back then, you know? I don't know if any of you know about that. So I pick up the phone, and I called my principal on Christmas Eve, okay, and said, guess what? I'm not coming back. And I hung up the phone. I have never done something so... That was a teaching of how to be responsible. So I found out that he didn't have a job either. And I didn't know that. He had been leaving in the morning, making it look. And so here we are, both of us, no jobs. And this is how beautiful the good Lord takes care of you. And during this time, women are taking me to meetings. I'm now doing this literature thing, beautiful, or so I think. I finally got a sponsor because I fired the first one because she was too, you know, oh my God, you're too rigid. And, you know, I was, my second sponsor I have to tell you about. Okay, so, you know, I'm Miss USC, right? I dress properly, I look proper, all this thing, I'm a teacher. My second sponsor who had for years, she smoked. I never smoked. She wore jeans. I wasn't allowed to wear jeans growing up because girls aren't supposed to wear pants. So I only had skirts and dresses. And she went and helped me buy my first pair. I mean, she was like night and day, but that woman had wisdom. When she spoke, she had wisdom. So here we are. I'm now at this stage where he doesn't have a job. I don't have a job. And one of the teachers that I used to teach with had a wife who called me up because, you know what, guys? We think nobody knows, but everybody knows. The students saw my husband drinking. The church, half the church knew, especially if he played the offertory song at the end of the Mass instead of the beginning of the Mass. Oh, yeah, one time a whole crew came up and they go, that was the damn best Mass I ever went to. And I'm just pissed, you know? So anyway, so here we are, and she called me up. She goes, you're bilingual, right? And I said, yeah. She goes, you taught high school Spanish, right? So you know how to write and read? And I go, yeah. And she goes, I have the perfect job for you. Are you working yet? And I said, no. So I went to work for an insurance company that exactly my third month, I got full benefits. And in that third month, I get a phone call while I'm out on the road because I was a bilingual translator for loss control. And I'm out on the field, and the lady calls me from Home Human Resources and says, we need you to come in. One of your family members has checked themselves into the hospital. So I'm thinking, who's that? You know, she goes, you need to come in. So I go into the office, and she said, your husband was just checked into St. Luke's in Pasadena, which no longer has this program. But because I was working at that insurance company, he was able to go into his recovery in 1986 for a 48-day program totally paid by my insurance company. Miracle. And guess what? Remember I told you that six-month thing that I was going to wait and see if some girl showed up? It was getting close, right? So St. Luke's has this recovery thing. You know, the family all goes. We go and listen to this couple, and they're speaking. And she gets up, and she goes, yeah, my honey, who's now sober, right, because they were doing, like, the Chapter 9 thing. I don't know if any of you know what Chapter 9 is. It's a family in recovery, and they would have meetings like that. So it's her and him, and she goes, yeah, he's a pastor. He used to drink. We have two children. And she was 2 years older than me. And I just started crying. And I knew I was in the right place. So that was another practice that I said, I'm going to stay. This is the key, participation. So how did our life go? We get into recovery. I think everything's wonderful. We're into our first year. And he comes home and he goes, guess what? I want to open up a restaurant. You're a freaking alcoholic. Are you nuts? Neither one of us knew anything about, I mean, I'm a former teacher. Now I'm doing this bilingual translating thing. He's now teaching music. And I go, what? And then I go, and you're not, and he goes, my sponsor told me that after 1 year, I can come to you with a plan, and I know it's a plan that's going to give you a heart attack. I'm almost there, but will you look at it when I make my 1 year? Well, I'm thinking, okay, you know. So I go and talk to my sponsor. Now it's a year and a half, and we were having an Al-Anon, like a fellowship retreat that was being held in Redlands, and my sponsor said, I want you to go on this. It'll be really good, and it was already on the books. And it was the same day that he came back and said, what do you think about it? It's now been over a year, and I really want to do this. So I go away thinking it's going to be the sky, you know, the whole bit. No answer. So I came back. My sponsor says, well, you have some options here. You can pray about it. You can do this, you can do that, all the different tools that were given. And then she said, Anne, have you ever considered it doesn't have to be forever? And I went, never thought of that, right? To me, I do something, I do it, like, whatever. So I'm committed. So I said yes, and we had the most amazing life in recovery for 14 years. Mm-hmm. We were a speaker couple. We were just, I was just like, wow, this is great. Well, here is where practice three comes in. Because one thing that some people will experience in this program, if you do not adhere to the discipline of the 12 steps, which is in survival to recovery, one will willingly surrender to the discipline. Now, what is discipline? A practice. And what is a practice? Something that you make proficient on a regular basis so it becomes a part of you. Was I doing that? Well, why should I? I have this great life now. We're booming our business. The children are growing up. He's sober. Oh, I won't go to that meeting tonight. I don't really need to do that. And that is what is called complacency, which is a killer in our programs. And so, during this complacency, where I'm now down to just one meeting or just speaking once in a while, something happened. Life, death, sickness, and the economy, which we had a restaurant. So what was happening? My brother-in-law was found dead at the age of 40 from a drug overdose thing, on the floor in his home at 40 in La Cañada. Ooh, La Cañada, we're known, we're restaurant people. So they totally managed to cover up the story. His dad was diagnosed with cancer. My dad was diagnosed with cancer, and my mom was going to get ready to have breast cancer surgery. Now, that's a lot of stuff for people that don't know how to handle things out of left field very well. Because my MO is, let's fix it, and his MO. So, it wasn't pretty, is all I'm going to say. And we experienced a really bad situation to the point that I had to do a real inventory that became my third practice, a personal inventory that became a regular inventory. Because I wasn't doing a personal inventory on a regular basis. I was just, okay, I'm grateful, this is great, call the sponsor, maybe go to a meeting. And I realized I wasn't looking at my part. I was spending so much time trying to fix everybody and take people to hospitals. And it was so overwhelming that we both just did our thing that we did well. And the marriage, everything started to crumble. And I had an experience that I speak to women that don't believe that this is a progressive disease. And that is that I experienced being beat up. I experienced being really hurt emotionally and physically. I experienced a lot of our employees really being abused. And I had to do a restraining order. And this is a woman that takes a lot of pride, right? I have a lot of pride. I now own a business. I'm known and whatever. And every single step of the way, God was there with little things. The day that I went to do the restraining order, I was telling her the story. It was so shameful, but I knew I had to do it. I had bruises on me that took pictures. And then I said, can I speak to your boss? I need to speak to your boss. And they were really great. The police were really great at that time. I was amazed. And the main sheriff came in, and he looked at me, and he goes, Mrs. D? He was a former student of mine. And he sat down with me and he said, don't worry, I'll make sure it doesn't get in the paper. And that, I know, was my God. And so, from that day forward, that practice, I'm so grateful to the program and this participation that I was talking to the other practice, because during this time, he's now in sober living. I told him he couldn't come home. We're trying to deal with rebuilding the business because he had done some damage with employees, with money. It was just all these things coming together. And I remember telling myself, somehow you're going to get through all of this. Somehow you're going to be okay. And when I'm doing this personal inventory and I'm starting to journal and I'm just seeing my part in it, I realized, oh my gosh, I left my job, my teaching job, and I never, ever called them up. I never apologized because I was too busy into the disease and trying to fix things. And so I talked to my sponsor and said, you know, I've been doing this and I need to call Merritt. That was my principal. And she goes, do you think you can do that? Do you think this is going to be, you know, how we talk about amends, whether it's going to be hurtful to the person, how are you going to handle all that? And she goes, you know what? I have a suggestion. You taught high school. You're good with kids. We need an Alateen sponsor. How would you like to be an Alateen sponsor? And I went like, oh, God. I don't think so. She goes, oh, you'd be perfect. Well, I follow directions. So I became an Alateen sponsor, and today, you guys, today, one of my Alateens that was 14, 15 at the time when I started, who's now 23, I shared it with her, and I don't know who else I shared it with, I get this text, Maria, guess what? I'm going to have a baby, and I'm so happy, and you had to know about it, and I'm just like, this girl went to college. This girl has an awesome boyfriend. She has a great relationship. She's in program. And she became an addiction counselor. I mean, and to receive that today when I'm with you, it's just like, what? Yeah, right? So journaling and step 10 became my major third practice. I've never let up, and when I went to a convention up in Ventura, like I said, a lot of this happened 8 years ago, and I'm now putting this all into my routine. She got up, and the speaker said something about how she did her inventory, and because I never know, like, okay, take out my journal, okay, what am I going to write about, you know, or, you know, everything's okay today, and she goes, do this, three things. Today I woke up, I'm either glad, I'm mad, I'm sad. And so I started to do that, and I noticed that I had a pattern. Why is it this week that I've been mad every day? Why is it this week that I've been sad every day? Why is it this week that I've been glad? And I realized how much of it depended on me being responsible. Have I been taking care of my body? Did I not eat? Did I do the halt thing? Did I go hungry too long? Did I not go to a meeting? So just that simple thing every day, today I'm glad, I'm mad, I'm sad, really became part of my journaling and part of my step 10 inventory, which is now just basically my routine. So what happened with my wonderful honey and I? So this is how this wonderful lady came into the picture. So he comes out of sober living, I have all my boundaries in order, he gets back into program, and we just think everything's fine. We're now in 2001. This relapse happened in 1999. We have been with the restaurant now all those years, 14, 15 years. My daughter's working with us. She helped get a lot of things in order business-wise with her background. And I think everything's going to be okay, right? We decide to get a home in Maui. We're going to retire in Maui. In steps Angel. I'm doing conventions over there. Well, lo and behold, during all this process, life was so good for him. But I also think that he hadn't dealt with his own personal demons. I'm not an alcoholic. I don't know what he was going through. Maybe he still hadn't dealt with the deaths of two parents, you know, the parent, the dad, and the brother. And I find out that this man who goes with me to Maui with my last visit with my dad, this is a guy that used to drink of both priests and used to drink of my dad. He's very close. We go to Maui because my dad is now dying of bone cancer. And my dad's last wishes were, I want to make one more trip to Maui before I die. So we go, and the entire time, I'm going to go here. I got to go to a meeting. But he was gone, like the whole day, okay? So after a week, I decided, and this is where participation is the key to harmony. I had made a lot of friends on Maui, going back and forth. I was very involved with the club that's burned down in Lahaina. And I asked one of the girls, who I know had some police background work, I said, I need a private investigator. Because he was going to stay and work on this home that was supposedly going to be our second home to retire in. And while I was in California at the restaurant, this investigator within 3 days found that he had a woman, he had taken out money under my name, and just a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though he wasn't really bad in his personal addiction, I think he was taking pills, I honestly don't know. I think the investigator did say that, but here's the thing. Everybody makes their decision of how they can live with an alcoholic or an addict in their own way. My Catholic religion played such a big part of me wanting to make it work. When there were times we really both had that desire and we both were doing it. But when two people don't come together and see eye to eye, it was the hardest decision I had to make because I believe in marriage. That's just me. I'm not saying that it may not be good for someone else. I know a lot of women and men that have stayed with their spouse and that person's still occasionally drinks or whatever, but I can't do that, especially with a woman. So I filed for divorce, and that was, I think it was 2010, 2012. And yesterday was the anniversary of my dad's passing, and I'm really proud of myself to look back and honor the people that loved me when I couldn't love myself. I had a lot of Al-Anons there that day, but my two brothers, who didn't really know anything about program, they just knew about me and Vince being in recovery. My ex showed up at that funeral completely drunk, screaming and yelling. And my two brothers came up to my mom and I, because I'm the oldest and we're up there, and they whispered in my ear, and I had my sponsor behind me, and they were saying, "It's okay, we got it covered." And they managed to remove them without causing a scene. But, you know, I look back on that now, and I have compassion. In that moment, I had hatred like you wouldn't believe. I mean, I could swear a lot right now and tell you how I felt that moment. And I know my mother felt it too. But to be now in this place on the anniversary and know that that man is, he's suffering right now. I know he's suffering. He's divorced the woman that he left me for because she was an alcoholic addict. He's had several girlfriends in between. He's moved several times. And I made a deal with my adult children. And the deal was, you have only one father. That father, you need to make your relationship. And I never badmouthed him to the children when the divorce. I said, you know, as much I wanted to, but I knew what was that going to serve. And so I know right now, I really feel that my children will probably get a call one day because they had to set boundaries with their dad. On Christmas, he showed up at their, they had a separate Christmas because my daughter lives in Florida. My son went out there. And he showed up really bad, according to them. And they said, we don't want you, Dad, when you like this. So where am I? And how am I now practicing? So you've seen step one. You've seen my participation is the key to harmony. You've seen how important step 10 is, which brings me to journaling, which I journal every day. I do step 10 religiously with meditation. And sometimes meditation for me is just walking and talking to my sponsor out in the beautiful desert, right? So step 5 comes in. And that's the most beautiful practice that I love. And that includes all of you because it's tradition 5. And that tradition says that we do our best to welcome families. That is our purpose, you guys. And you've done that for me through the years. So now I'm in 2012. My dad's dying. I have filed for divorce. I have tons of debt because of this divorce. I own a restaurant, which now I have to also leave because I have money and debt tied into that. So I now have basically no identity. What am I going to do? And I am not kidding you when I say how the Al-Anon Fellowship carried me during those times. I even remember when everybody pushed me, you can probably remember too, to be the Inland Empire chair. And I'm like, you know, this is how selfish I am, right? It's about me. What? I'm going through a divorce and you want me to chair a convention? What's wrong with you? You know? I don't have that kind of time. I have to feel sorry for myself. You know? Jeez. It was like, what are you thinking, you know? But it seemed like every time I was in the depths of despair, right, whether it was setting up a literature chair table or whatever, there they were. This is what I think might work for you. And I am so grateful to that tradition. And that's why I'm here, because I want to give back. And that's why I stay, because I can never repay all the love, the fellowship, the caring. There were days when after my dad died, and I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm in this house alone. I traveled. That's how I met Kathy. I mean, I would go all the way to Santa Monica. I'd go up to Tradition 5 meeting with Benny Ann. I just go, I can't be in Covina because they know my story. You know, this is shame, you know. That's crazy meeting with you guys. This is why we kept coming back. Look at how long I've been here, and I'm still nuts. It's true, right? And so here I am, and I'm doing a grief and separated class. I'm doing 2 and 3 meetings. I've got a therapist. I mean, this lady is on full-fledged, what the heck is wrong with this chica, right? And so I keep telling myself, you're going to be okay. You're going to survive this. You're going to be okay. So what happens? I'm sitting down in between San Dimas and Glendale at a coffee shop, and I'm starting to feel sorry for myself. I do that really good, you guys. Yeah, to the point that a barista will even come up and I go, are you okay? I mean, that's how good I do it, okay? So I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I have this thought. One of my best customers had lost his wife 9 months ago, prior to this whole time. Now, I'm now 18 months. My mom's grieving. I'm doing all these classes. I don't know what I'm going to do. I have this little pocket of money. I have a little thing that I'm helping people with, and they're paying me, but I have no idea. All I know is I want to get well, right? And so I think about this guy, and I go, oh, my God, he was such a great customer, his wife. Do something nice for someone else, Maria. Do something nice, okay? So I thought, I'm gonna write him a note. So I did it in my journal, and then I only shared it with one person, my sister. Now, my sister is the only other person that has done recovery in my immediate family. So she goes, oh, you journaled about that. That's really cool. And I said, yeah, but isn't that crazy? I mean, is something wrong with me that I'm thinking about some guy who lost his wife? And I mean, what's wrong? And she goes, no, that's beautiful. You didn't do anything, you know, whatever. And so she tears the page out of my journal, and she goes, I'm going to mail it. Mm-hmm. So fast forward, he got the letter. He didn't call. So I go, okay, you're a bitch. What's wrong with you? So, of course, that was at least 5 meetings worth. I mean, I'm turning myself in everywhere like, okay, you guys, this is why we come back, because you do crazy things like me. And so here I am, and then I find out, again, my daughter's getting ready to exit the restaurant now. We're going to close it down. I've been gone for a while. She calls me up, Mom, you have to come in today. You have to come in today. Dad showed up, and he's really bad, and la, la, la. And I'm just like, honey, I told you I'm not going. Please, Mom, just this one time. I go to the restaurant. Who should be there? He hadn't been in our restaurant since his wife had passed, and I now show up. So what do I do? Did you get my letter? Okay, here's the beautiful thing of how it works. On our third date, my sponsor calls me up because I'm calling her all the time, right? I'm going, oh, my God, this is going good. I got a guy. Oh, life is good. And now I'm going back to meetings in Covina, San Dimas. I'm an Alateen sponsor. Everybody loves me. Okay. So then she goes, you got to tell him about Al-Anon. I go, oh, shoot. He's going to say, c'est la vie, right? And so we're on our third date. I'm just like, he goes, are you okay? You've been kind of like in a fight. I got to tell you something. So, of course, me, Miss America, blabbermouth, teacher, I can't just say it, you know, simple. I have to give him the whole history. Make it sound really good, right? You know, give all the little details like we tend to do. It's like when we do our sob story with our sponsors, right? Like, you don't understand. Okay, and I said that at least 3 times. And he's just listening the whole time, and he goes, so Maria, I want you to know, my brother has 33 years in AA, and he's involved in the Triangle Club, and I was in Al-Anon for 2, but now I do church. And he goes, girl, you do Al-Anon. And this guy and I today are now 14 years, going to be 14 years, 13 and a half years together. And he supports me like 100% with my program. And where are my children? Where is my family? Where am I? Well, I'm here with you. I try to live more in the present. I do my best with those practices. I know that journaling saved me. I put so much crap on paper, you guys. Cartoons, pictures, daggers, love notes, everything. My kids are going to have a field day when I die. They're like, what? Mom did that? But that was such an eye-opener to look back at myself, and I can either see how much I've grown or I can see what I really need to work on. And I'm sorry, but I definitely still need to work on judgment. I could call out a couple girls on their hairdo right now. But no, seriously. I realize now it's about me being responsible for me. Not you, not worrying about you 100% of the time, but I'm so consumed with you and what you're doing and how you're doing it, and you're not doing it the way I said, that I can like, wow, I can enjoy life because I'm not exuding that kind of energy. Now, what is it that has transpired and affected my family? A lot of beautiful things have happened as a result of this. My brother was able to come to me and tell me about abuse with a priest. No one in the family knew. I was able to help him to get into some good therapy. I told him also that I thought he needed some program because even though his wife is not a drinker and he's not a drinker, I said, you were affected. Dad did a lot of drinking, you know, and you saw me and my husband, and we were fighting and screaming and doing crazy things. I think that might help you. So now he's doing Al-Anon. And then 2 years ago, his wife called me and she said, I think my son's an alcoholic. And so she's now doing recovery in San Clemente. She's going to take her first year cake. And here's the best story. Here's the best story of how wonderful this program is. When I went through my divorce, my son, who's now 46, had two miscarriages with his wife, and they were both in a bad place. My son started to choose to drink, and with COVID, he exasperated really bad. Now, we can say it's genetics, we can say it was a family, we can say whatever you want to say. He chose to call himself an alcoholic, and when we chose to do an intervention, which at first I was hesitant, but my daughter and I and the daughter-in-law agreed. He was so shocked that his dad showed up. I was too, and at that time he was a year sober because he had divorced the alcoholic wife. He's not in a good place today. That he went into recovery, and a week from today, God willing, my son will have 4 years.
Oh, yay.
And the only reason he's not here today was because he's going to be going to another convention with his sponsor. And so it wasn't because of my hand. It was because I showed up, suited up for myself. Yeah, in the beginning I was trying to please you with those damn cookies, okay, and trying to get you to love me. And trying to get you to understand, you don't understand. Your husband didn't drink with priests. What's wrong with you, right? I'm more important than you. But today I realize I must be that key. Let it begin with me. Let it begin with me. And you know what? Me is a freaking lot of work, you guys. Which is why I had to literally put practice into Maria's routine. And I'm really proud of myself that I've pretty much diligently done those 5 practices every day. Step 1, okay, am I powerless? What can I manage? What is my business to manage? Right? And every day, right. either gratitude, right, either I'm pissed off, but get rid of it. And the last thing I want to share with you, because now I'm supposed to end, is when we celebrated our 50 years, there was this book at the International, and one of my sponsees went to the International, and she goes, I bought you this book, which I thought, wow, how thoughtful, right? But the interesting thing was she goes, I want you to read what I wrote inside. And all it was a sticker, and she goes, this is my favorite phrase. And she goes, and it's on page 212 in this book. And there's so much wisdom in our literature, you guys, this simple phrase. Al-Anon tells me to live one day at a time. Today is that day. And if you think about it, be present, be grateful, which means to think kindly of, be thankful, which means I recognize the good. And today, my eyes, like Bill Wilson said, I have another pair of glasses. I see so much better.